We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and we are gathered here under the 973 Bridge in Austin, Texas, looking at the Colorado River after the second annual Loco Trash Bash. I'm here with We Will Not Be Tamed ambassadors Alvin Dedeau and Thomas Flemons, and Texas Parks and Wildlife Department River Guy Tim Birdsong, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we did today. Today we were walking the talk. Alvin, you want to explain what the event was today?
So it is, today was the second annual LOCO, and for those of who are not in the know, the LOCO stands for the Lower Colorado River Trash Bash. And
we're going to see how many rhymes we can do today.
Yep. Because after this, we're going to go to the Yeti flagship store for the LOCO Trash Bash after bash party. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, second year. Started off last year. I guess I can tell the whole story.
Yeah.
I just decided on my birthday last February that I would go out and do something to give back to the river that I love to fish on and make a pretty good living on. And for my birthday, just filled the boat up with a load of trash. My wife and I, Lene, and then somehow or another, we decided that that would actually be a really good event to invite the entire community to come and get involved with. And it was a roaring success last year, and it's been a lot of work, a lot of challenges. We had to do some reschedules this year because of weather and water, but we finally got it done, and it was this year was even more fun than last year.
How many folks did we have out here today, Alvin?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we had 150 people register last year, people who showed up and filled out a waiver and got a wristband last year. And I think we're probably looking at similar numbers this year. I know we had definitely had more people in motorboats and jet boats on the lower river, which is where I was, than we did last year. So probably similar numbers, you know, maybe a few more.
And
we won't know till later. We'll count all the waivers and we'll know.
Now, Thomas, why are you here today?
Because he's cool.
Cheers to that, bro. When I lived in Austin, this was my go-to river. I lived down out of San Marcos, so I'm a little biased. It's a little easier to get on that one, but this is another one of our natural resources that needs to be coveted. You know, this close to an urban area, especially with the growth we have, this is something that everybody can enjoy. And being biased of coming from the San Marcos, you know, I thought that we were having a litter problem with the tubers and stuff, but I haven't floated this river here probably in the last couple of years, and see the amount of trash that's flowing down from the city and is rooting in here. This needs to be a program that's doing, you know, or done, you know, a lot more often. Not saying that.
I wholeheartedly agree.
It's something we need to find another way to tap into this vein where we've got it. You know, if there's plenty of people in Travis County that we can say, hey, you want to fill out community service hours, go clean up our rivers. And it's a double banger right there if we talk to the right people within the Austin city limits or the county, of where we can say, oh, you want to float down a river and clean up trash and you're going to knock out your community service hours, they will be overbooked. And that's a one way that we can double bang this thing and just really get it on a continual basis, because we're fighting a losing battle. There's too many people in Austin.
I didn't thought about that. That's a great idea.
A good float this morning.
We do have a little kind of continuing thing that we've been doing starting last year, is what we've been calling the virtual trash bash. I don't know if you heard about that. So, you know, through social media, we have been encouraging people to just go out and on the Colorado or the San Marcos, wherever, just go out, pick up trash on the river, on the creek, wherever, just pick up some trash, take a picture of your trash, and then share that picture on social media, tag it with, you know, Trash Bash or All Water Guides, you know, our guide service. And every month, you know, we're going out and we're collecting those photos, those hashtags, and we're giving somebody a prize. So it's like a virtual cleanup. So, you know, every month people are picking stuff up, taking pictures of it, you know, and we've been getting some really good prizes, Yeti coolers, Patagonia bags, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, but your idea, I really like that community service thing, you know, because like, who wouldn't say, oh, I got to do community service. Okay, I got two options. I can stand on the side of the highway with a fluorescent vest on picking up trash, or I can float down a river in a canoe and pick up trash.
Okay, this is a no-brainer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is a number two, let me do it, yeah. Now, anybody's listening out there who can make that happen, let's see it.
All we need is that one phone number and we can get this put into place.
Right. Yep.
So Tim, why are you out here today and what were your observations of the day?
Well, so of course, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's all about trying to get people outdoors and get Texans excited about conserving wild things, wild places, and especially their home waters. And events like this are exactly that. I mean, they get people out in the water, they get people to, you know, see what a healthy, natural, flowing river looks like, and, you know, get them involved in some, you know, introductory way, some tangible way in helping conserve that river. So it may start out with a trash cleanup, and our hope is that they'll graduate to maybe understanding, you know, issues with water policy and water management and some things that are a little more complex that may, you know, may in the big picture be more impactful than trash on a river. But I mean, this is kind of a gateway to getting them to know and care about flowing waters in Texas. And we have so many incredible rivers, and, you know, the lower Colorado is tops of the list in terms of, you know, this is home to our state fish, Guadalupe bass, state record Guadalupe bass was caught here.
Yep, on a fly.
On a fly.
Wasn't it with
FYI,
you?
Right?
Wasn't me, but it was one of our guys.
Oh, come on.
one of our regular clients. Yeah. So, yeah.
So we got this healthy population of Guadalupe bass, and there aren't many places that we have genetically pure, sustainable Guadalupe bass populations. They're just a handful.
I heard you caught one today.
Country. I did. I took a little break with my kids midday. You know, they worked hard the first few hours. I rewarded them with a little swimming, a little fishing. Caught one Guadalupe bass. Yeah.
So they're here. You're just making sure they're here, right?
They're working hard when I saw them.
Burying each other in the sand.
Yeah, I see them over there.
that piece of, there was a piece of culvert that's been in the river forever, and I saw these guys working on it, and I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to get that out, and they got it out. I was impressed.
Now, Alvin, you told me before we started recording that you just got the numbers from last year of what did you pull out last year, and what are you thinking this year?
So, and it's taken a year because, you know, the Texas Disposal Systems, which is one of the sponsors of the event, awesome because, you know, I've heard from some of the other river cleanup organizations that they end up having to pay for stuff like tires that they pull out of the river. TDS told us that if we can pull it out of the river and put it in the dumpster, they will haul it away at no charge to us. So immediately after last year, we're like, well, how much did we pull out? Well, I guess they have to, like, it's not as simple as like going, oh, you pulled out like three dumpsters, whatever. But we just found out a couple days ago that last year we pulled out 5.6 tons of trash.
Wow.
It's looking like it may be pretty close to that as well, because we have two ton dumpsters that are completely full.
And we're sitting right by one. I see one over here. It's got this huge tire in it.
That tire is bigger than you are.
How did
like
you
if
get
you
that
stood
out?
Up, I didn't get that out, but there's some video
Thomas did.
Of the guys pulling that out.
I got the littler one. I can't take credit for the big one.
So they, but it was like wedged in the, and how did they get it out?
They dug it out of the ground. Thomas was there.
Tell us about that.
So we saw him working on one across the way, and we came up and Hunter Barcroft was over there trying to get it out. It's like, there's too much silt. How are we going to get this down? So before we knew it, we had some of the LCRA guys came over, and Ryan Schaefer came in and helped, and we started digging all the silt down. We're like, okay, if we put these two kayaks together, then we can put this on the bow of it and just ride this Huck Finn style down the river. And where there's a will, there's a way. It happened. And I was just, I had a little bit of envy when we got down here with these giant tractor tires and theirs was like a foot taller.
Like, yes.
I was like, oh man, you just stole my thunder. And so,
I mean, like, there's like, but these are not like the giant CrossFit tires that people throw around, they're bigger than that, like twice that size. I mean, insane.
I'm 6'3", and the first one was up to here, and the other one was over my head.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Okay, so. Alvin, I noticed I was looking at some of the stuff you sent out, and got a huge email group. And so I got quite a few emails the last couple of weeks about it. Well, and also just it kept moving, right, because of the water level being too high.
Yeah.
You had to wait till the water level was low enough that people wouldn't be
target
in danger.
For sure. Yeah.
So then finally you did it. And then I noticed that you had different categories for the trash. Like, right?
Oh, you mean as far as like the prizes?
Right.
Yeah.
There was like the cutest trash, the grossest trash. What? Can you share some of that, of what was found so far?
Well, I think I might have found the cutest trash, which is a little teddy bear with the red hat and a little vest and some other clothing on it that I took multiple pictures of, and arrested him on a pile of tires and set him up like he was on a little throne of trash. But Tim can tell you about what was probably the grossest piece of trash. I didn't see this.
Okay, we're going there. Go ahead, tell us.
I mean, we're talking gross.
Decapitated dog head. So yeah, there was a dog head that was in a trash bag.
Ew.
Yeah. Pretty awful.
Yep. That's pretty gross. The last year, I think the grossest was the adult diaper. And
God.
For the gross prizes, you're not required to bring the prize to the event.
take your word for it.
Yeah, you don't even have to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Maybe a witness.
My 11-year-old found some really nice lingerie.
Oh yeah.
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 Posted a picture to Instagram.
Yeah.
What did his mother say? you haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's just it just underscores how close this beautiful water body is to such a major population center of Austin. Everything up and down I-35, right? So, I mean, what you pulled up today, what is the relative health, Tim, of the Colorado River?
You know, so it's an urban stream, and all the urban streams, as you mentioned, along this I-35 corridor, they're all impacted by the same sorts of issues, and we're talking about the demand for water from the public, and so you have withdrawals from rivers that impact the natural flows. In some cases, you have wastewater that's returned to those streams, and depending on how well that wastewater is treated, you know, it may or may not be beneficial to the stream. And I think the city of Austin does a really good job of treating their wastewater, and that wastewater provides base flows for the lower Colorado River. And Texas Parks and Wildlife has worked really closely with the lower Colorado River Authority over really the last four decades to put in place some water management approaches that meet the needs of species that have really unique life histories. And so species that need a certain kind of pulsing flow or high flow during their spawning season to be able to persist. And so we have species like Guadalupe bass that do really well under the flow regime that's here on the lower Colorado River. We have state threatened blue sucker, which is a species that once occurred across all of our coastal rivers and still occurs here on the lower Colorado. And, you know, probably over 50 different species of native freshwater fishes that occur in this system. And so overall, the biodiversity and the health of this system is doing really well, and we want to keep it that way. And we want people to understand what a really unique and incredible resource this is, to have this stream that you can safely go swim in and fish in, and as Alvin said, make a living as a fly fishing guide right here in this urban stream. It's
incredible. And it's a hopeful thought too, because this week, and I was hearing on public radio all this week about the 50th anniversary of the Cuyahoga River fires that happened that kind of spurred the Clean Water Act and EPA. And I can remember being a reporter in Austin probably about the same time you were in Bad Mother Goose back in the early 80s.
Oh, yeah.
When McKinney Falls State Park was closed down because of the wastewater discharge from one of the wastewater plants. So I think cities, and it has gotten better, right? It has gotten better since then.
Yeah, and the Clean Water Act, you know, was passed in the 70s, and it's really, you know, put some requirements in place to address water quality issues, water quantity issues, And I think, systems in general, I mean, systems are a lot healthier than they were back then when you were dealing
even
with
the increase in population, pollution. You think about that. I mean, that's a hopeful thing, too.
Yeah, and I think there's some really close relationships between the water authorities here in Texas, Texas Water Development Board, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, that are looking at future water plans to meet the demands from the growing populations. And Texas Parks and Wildlife Department partners are closely engaged in helping, helping understand the flow needs of fish and wildlife, make sure that there's a seat at the table there to make sure that not just the ecology of these systems are sustained in the future, but related recreational opportunities are there as well in terms of paddling and wildlife viewing and other, nature-oriented benefits from these rivers.
So Thomas, you've been floating these rivers, fishing these rivers for decades, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So what have you noticed just in terms of people being engaged, involved in the health of the river? What are your observations there?
It, depending on what rivers and creeks you go to around here, obviously there's the population. At a very good stroke, there's a lot more people that are engaged in water sports, a lot more people that are engaged in fly fishing, fishing in general. Kayak fishing has taken off through the roof. We're seeing more people on the water all the time. And we're seeing more responsible people on the water. That's one thing that is a really key element to preserving these waterways, not only through cleanups, through maintenance, through all the tools that are already in place, but when you start getting a lot more responsible paddlers that are out there that pick up an extra piece of trash, an extra bag of trash, that they practice catch and release, there's a whole lot of things. They don't litter the river, they leave no trace. We're seeing a lot more of a responsible crowd coming down the river.
What do you think
that is? Education. There's a lot more of a push. When I was younger, nobody really knew the effects that were going to be down the road. And now we're adults, and the practices that were going on when we were kids are not acceptable. You take everything, and we've always practiced this through the years, but not everybody did. And now it's becoming a more understood practice of it, leave it how you found it, or make it better and leave it that way. And, our waters are healthy right now. We've got a litter problem that's not going to go away. We're just going to find a way to deal with it. But overall, our rivers and our fisheries, even though we're battling floods and the ups and downs of the actual fish population, everything like that, it's the population that are responsible, that are using these as a, daily, weekly, recreational tool. Those are the people that are making this a better place to come down for everybody else that just gets their foot wet in it and then realizes, hey, I want to be a part of this.
So Alvin, you really have your finger on the pulse of it you take clients out, right? You've been doing that for over 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So what have you noticed in terms of just the recognition of what the resource is and what it needs? What have you noticed over the years?
Well, I mean, I was thinking, Thomas was saying about more people, using the resources and more people being aware of the resources. And I think that's a big part of this event, like an event like this where you have a lot of people show up, a lot of people who've never been exposed to the river. And, this is their first time. And, sure, it's great because they come and we clean the river up and we pull a lot, pull 6 tons of trash out. But really, more than that, it is the awareness. It is having more people realize that this is here for them to use. And it's really been slow. Like, what I've noticed is we're trying to expose more people to these resources. And it's a double-edged sword. I've said this multiple times. We're trying to get more people out here on the river.
Not when I'm out there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and more people on the river are going to be more people using the resources. So maybe that makes it a little bit tougher for me to maximize my day on the river. But at the same time, I the more people who are concerned about it is the more people that are going to take care of it. The more people, like if there's a vote on something that's going to happen and people are like, oh, I didn't know. The more people that are aware of the issues that we're facing, And if they have a stake in it, then that's just better for anybody who wants to use these resources. You know, so I'm really trying to expose it to more people. But what I have noticed is there's still a lot of room for a lot more people to get out on these rivers. And I'll say it, you know, I just think we got lots of water, lots of flowing water. I mean, there's tons of people on the lakes, but there's not tons of people on the rivers. I mean, even today there were, you know, probably 20 or 30 motorboats on the section of river I was on, and that didn't seem crowded. I mean, even when, you know, unless there was like three people passing while they were going to pick up more trash or take trash back, it's like, yeah, that's cool. But still, it didn't seem crowded, and I think we need to just get more people involved in fishing these rivers, floating these rivers, and taking care of these rivers.
And of course, one of those issues is access, and that's the perfect segue for me to turn to Tim and to talk about the Conserving Texas Rivers Initiative, that of course the Parks and Wildlife Foundation is a big supporter of, and what that program is doing to provide access to rivers. You want to tell us a little bit about
we've
that?
We've been partnering with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation on this initiative for the last 6 years, and they brought some donors to the table and helped raise funds to create this program, which we call our River Access and Conservation Areas Program. And there are really two components. One is trying to secure more river access by establishing these public access leases with private landowners. Over 95% of Texas lands are in private ownership, and that's reflected in ownership of these banks along rivers. And we have over 40,000 miles of publicly navigable reaches of river in Texas. Wow. But the lands along those rivers are privately owned. And so we have bridge crossings like we're at today,
right,
and there's a public access easement, but especially in rural areas, we don't have much access. And so we've started partnering with these private landowners, and real similar to our public hunting program that's been around for a long time, where we lease private lands for public hunting opportunities. So we're leasing private lands for river access to bank wade and kayak fishing opportunities. And so we kicked that off back in the 2012-2013 time frame, and really it was just a pilot at the time. We were like, you know, will landowners be interested in cooperating with us on this? Will anglers and paddlers use those sites? And it's been a big success for us. And so we started out with 7 sites, kind of our initial proof of concept, if you will, and evaluated those over a 5-year period, and we've expanded from there, and we've had 24 sites now that opened up access to over 170 miles of Texas rivers. And again, that's a drop in the bucket when you're talking
40,000 miles.
but it's growing, and one thing that's made it a success is the partnership with the fly fishing community. So we have over 20 fly fishing clubs spread around the state. You know, Austin Fly Fishers, Lubbock Fly Fishers, Fort Worth Fly Fishers. I mean, they're all over. And historically, we had the Guadalupe River chapter, Trout Unlimited, which was still is the largest Trout Unlimited chapter in the nation. And that's you know, a chapter that's focused there on that canyon reservoir tailrace. But now that fly anglers are getting really interested in fly fishing warm water streams, it was a perfect partnership to get them involved in helping be the caretakers of these access areas. So I mentioned the access, you know, the negotiating the agreement with private landowners. The other component is using those sites as demonstration areas. So doing exactly what the Loco Trash Bash has done. I mean, we're organizing river cleanup events at all of those sites. We're doing tree plantings. We're doing invasive species removal. We're doing trail maintenance projects, putting in kiosks and signs that promote river conservation, you know, talk about ethics and stewardship principles. And
I'm guessing the landowners love that.
They do. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
That's
awesome.
The landowners gotta love it.
Yeah.
I mean.
That was the key. So landowners historically have not been interested in supporting public river access because of trash issues. And so, you know, we found a way around the trash issues by
look at those boys out there in the river.
Yeah. So we were able to get the fly fishing community to basically implement this adopt a river access type program, and they've built really strong relationships with those landowners, and they've become local stewards of those access sites, where, you know, Parks and Wildlife, we don't have the resources to touch every one of those access sites all around the state, so they're there to kind of shepherd those places.
And the mom and me are is watching the boys behind you. I'm
you
sorry.
Are.
They're doing great, but they just took off. They just took off.
They're
the
taking advantage of the river.
They are taking advantage of the river. But this mom is watching. Okay,
they told me they were
keep talking.
Take a nap
sorry.
This,
it's just water, Lydia.
It's just water. They're doing great. But obviously, this has been a great boon for landowners in terms of just this program is helping all of that and helping them be more receptive to access, right?
Yeah, and it's been funded with, again, private dollars. And we've had some federal grants, but the other key source of funding is our new Texas Rivers Conservation License Plate. So so Texans buy this plate for $30 and $22 goes to support this program.
It's a beautiful plate too.
I gotta get me one.
It's a really pretty.
I gotta get one.
So Tim, you've been doing this conservation thing for how long? How long have you been a professional?
15 years. Yeah, okay. I'm still kind of young in it compared to my colleagues that are all, you know,
but how,
30 plus.
And this is the cliche question. I get to ask this question. How does it make you feel to be out here today and see all these citizens out here? I mean, pulling tires out, pulling tons of trash out of the river.
Well, I mean, it really gives you that hopeful, optimistic feeling because I do remember a time, it wasn't very long ago, when it seemed like no one cared about rivers. I mean,
I know.
You really thought, you think about Texas as, you know, if you're thinking about a fishing destination, you're thinking of Lake Fork or
yep.
Sam Rayburn or Toledo Bend or something like that. But you know, I grew up in Texas, and it's like, man, we've got all these incredible rivers, and I bring other biologists, you know, in for conferences and meetings or whatnot into Austin, and we always try to go hit the Llano or the Pernellas or Blanco or something. You know, we try to go hit a hill country stream. Right now, Onion Creek, which flows right behind the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department headquarters, it's a tributary of the Colorado River, it looks better than I've ever seen it. And so, yeah, we've got all these really incredible streams, especially in Central Texas. And I think people just, in general, they aren't aware of these resources. But, you know, as was said earlier, I mean, the increased interest in kayak fishing and paddling and fly fishing, it's just pushing more people to rivers and streams, and they want to get involved, they want to give back. Most of these organizations, like the fly fishing clubs, they're members of the organization Fly Fishers International, their local chapters, and they need those service hours. Most of those have conservation committees, so yeah, we're glad that they're out here picking up trash on the river instead of picking up trash along the highway or whatever,
right.
Whatever
yeah.
the alternative
and
is.
And Thomas, you've been, like I said, you've been out here many, many decades out here, so what does it mean for you to be involved in this effort today?
Just happy to do my part. You know, like we were saying, you know, education and resources are the key thing. And with the group that we've got, you know, not only groups like Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, All Water Guides, the local community, I mean, all of it, to see it start coming together and trying to better the waterways that we have, that's what makes it go around. You know, without the communal support and everybody coming together, we've got nothing. We've got a trash river that may or may not make it. But with everybody working together and knowing what the end goal is, as to clean it up and preserve the species and to, you know, leave it better than we found it, the more we educate people and let them know how they can contribute to that, and the more participation we have throughout the different sports, fly fishing, kayak fishing. I mean, even if you want to come down here and take a swim, we all band together, and with that, we can make a difference. If you go at it alone, just like I found out today, you can sit there in one spot, pick up two bags of trash, and feel like you haven't done anything. But if we get enough people down here on a regular basis, then we can really make a difference.
Alvin, I think you're onto something here.
Man, I was telling Jonathan earlier, just motoring around and just seeing people on the river picking up trash. I mean, it just like restores my faith in humanity. I was like, these people are taking their time out of their weekend to come and get dirty and pick up nasty trash for free. I was like, that's so awesome. And there's a ton of people doing it, you know? It's like, I mean, I'm a pretty sappy dude. And, you know, there's a couple times where I was like, if I stood here long enough and thought about this, I could start crying. I mean, because it's amazing,
it's
you know?
Thing.
It really is. It's awesome. I mean, it's people really do care. And that's really important.
Well, the spirit of this day really kind of embodies the spirit of the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign and why you two are involved and why we support the efforts of Tim Birdsong and all the professionals at Parks and Wildlife for the conservation work that you all do day in and day out. And so we appreciate you every day. We especially appreciate you today. And we appreciate y'all taking the time to be with us today for this podcast. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate Enjoyed y'all it. Having
Thanks.
Us.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.